In the Warren County Radio Bible School this morning, we're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson about gifts for the tabernacle. Now, that's the tabernacle in the wilderness. You'll find our lesson text in Exodus chapter 35, but let me encourage you to turn to the 84th Psalm. The 84th Psalm is going to be our devotional reading this morning. The golden text is from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now we're going to read the 84th Psalm in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, if you have your Bible open to the 84th Psalm, you can follow along with me. There's an inscription for this psalm. For the chief musician, set to the Gittith, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Jehovah of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out unto the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found her a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Jehovah of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the highways to Zion. Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it such a place of springs. Yea, the early rain covereth it with blessings. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them appeareth before God in Zion. O Jehovah, God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For Jehovah God is a sun and a shield. Jehovah will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Jehovah of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Now let's look at the helps and hints for the teacher. A study of the tabernacle and its purpose is too much for one lesson. Not only the construction of the tabernacle itself as a whole, but also the construction, use, and design of every piece of furniture in it would make a practical and very instructive lesson. This one lesson may beget a desire to learn more of the tabernacle and of the uses of its furniture and God's purpose in building it. To understand the construction of the tabernacle and its purpose, embracing the use and purpose of every piece of furniture in it, the last 16 chapters of Exodus must be studied. These chapters should be read consecutively so as to get the whole outline of the tabernacle before the mind. Then each separate part of the tabernacle, the court, the holy place, and the most holy place, and every piece of furniture and its location should be studied. There's much in the New Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews, which cannot be understood without first understanding the construction of the tabernacle and the system of worship then. It must be remembered that the Israelites reached Sinai in the third month after leaving Egypt. Soon afterward, Moses was in the mount 40 days and nights with Jehovah. After the sins and incidences recorded in Exodus chapters 32 through 34. He was in the mount the second time 40 days. Chapter 40, 1 and 2 and 17 states that on the first day of the month of the second year, after the Israelites had left Egypt, the work of constructing the tabernacle had been completed, and God then commanded Moses to set it up. Therefore, the Israelites had only about 6 months at most in which to prepare the material and to build the tabernacle. The word tabernacle means tent, and the tabernacle is called the tent of meeting. There God promised to meet with the people, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. In every place where I record my name, I will come unto thee and bless thee. Passages like Exodus 20 and verse 24. When the tabernacle was completed and set up according to God's directions, His glory filled it and abode upon it. There God met with and blessed the people of Israel, as He had promised to do. This was true in the Temple of Solomon. This was also true now in the spiritual temple, or the Church of God, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. It was a sin for the Israelites to refuse to carry their offerings to the door of the meeting. Leviticus 17, 1 through 7. The tabernacle was called the tabernacle of the testimony in Exodus 38, 21, because it contained the Ark of the Covenant, the two tables of testimony, those tables of stone, written with the finger of God. When Moses was in the mountain the first 40 days, God commanded him to build a tabernacle and gave him the plan or the pattern of it in every detail. It is significant that God gave the dimensions of the tabernacle and all its furniture, specifying the different types of materials which everything was to be made, from the Ark of the Covenant to the last clap of brass. Also, later on, God gave to David in writing the plan and specifications of the temple, which David turned over to Solomon, charging him to carry out every minute detail of the same. You can read about this in 1 Chronicles 28, verses 11 through 21. The tabernacle and the temple of Solomon were types of the church. Hebrews 8:2 calls it the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man, and it too was built according to God's plans and specifications. God was the architect, and Christ the builder. Every building must have an architect, a plan, a builder, a purpose. Of the tabernacle, the temple, and the church of God was the architect, and the plan in every particular was absolutely as perfect as God Himself. The builders of each were inspired. The construction and every detail were complete. And the purpose coming from God was as full and pure and high and holy as the wisdom and love of God. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. I'm going to read Exodus chapter 35 and verse 20. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. When Moses came down from the mountain after the second 40 days and 40 nights, he assembled the Israelites together and told them what God had commanded concerning the tabernacle. This is first expressed in Exodus 25, but the work was interrupted by the sin of making the golden calf and the consequences of that sin. After this, we have learned Moses, for the second time, was called back upon the mountain, spending again 40 days and 40 nights. After this, he was sent back with the other two tables of stone, which the construction to begin and complete the building of the tabernacle. The directions concerning the materials of which the tabernacle was to be built and how to collect them, well, you find them in Exodus chapter 35. It is well enough to study in detail the various materials and the use made of them which went into this structure. Materials different from these would not have been acceptable to God. If God specifies a material, that's the material He wants. To take another material or a material with additions from another piece of material and put that together with the real, and you may have a lot of problems on your trip. Now we read in verse 21 of Exodus chapter 35. We're going to read that after the instruction given in the previous part of the chapter, as verse 20 stated, the children of Israel departed from Moses to gather materials, and as verse 21 states, they returned with them everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone in whom his spirit was made willing, and brought Jehovah's offering for the work of the tent of meeting, and for the service thereof, and for the holy garments. Let us note how much this short statement embraces. First, their hearts were stirred up. Second, their spirit was made willing. And third, that which was brought was Jehovah's offering. And fourth, these offerings were for the work of the tent of meeting, where God promised to meet with the people. And fifth, it was for all the service thereof. And sixth, for the holy garments. Nothing was omitted, and there was an abundance of everything. Now reading verses 22 through 28, we read, and it came, both men and women, and as many as were willing-hearted, and brought brooches, and earrings, and signet rings, and armlets, and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto Jehovah. And every man with whom was found blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and seal skins brought them. Every one that did an offering of silver and brass brought Jehovah's offering, and every man with whom was found acacia wood for the work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin their hands and brought that which they had spun. The blue, and the purple, and the scarlet, and the fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in the wisdom spun the goats. And the rulers brought the onyx stones, and the stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate, and all the spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. These verses state that both men and women gave of that which one possessed. The women gave their mirrors of brass, Exodus 38 in verse 8. These verses show, too, the different kinds of jewelry worn then. To part with this jewelry and other costly materials shows the great interest in the Lord's work. In noting what each gave, we learn the lesson as is stated in the New Testament. For if the readiness is there, it is accountable according to a man hath, and not according that he hath not, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 21. The women not only gave their jewelry, but they spun with their own hands the coverings of goat's hair and curtains of blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. They were enthusiastic, wise-hearted, and were stirred up with the love of God's work. And this verse states that the precious stones, the spices, the oil which the rulers gave, the precious stones were for the ephod and the breastplate for the priests, the spices of oil for the anointing oil and the increase. Exodus 35:29 says, the children of Israel brought a free will offering unto Jehovah, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring, for all the work which Jehovah had commanded to be made by Moses. This free will offering that they all brought, no other offering is now acceptable to God but a free will offering. We read in the New Testament that God loveth a cheerful giver. One of the purposes of his heart is to give to the Lord. The offering must not be grudgingly made. When it is made cheerfully and willingly, be it little or much, it is acceptable to God, as was the widow's mite. For if all one's goods are given to feed the poor, without love it profits nothing.